Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and today I'm going to do a tutorial on podcasting. And with me, I have...
I'm Alex, and no, this is not a recording. Well, technically it is a recording, but you know what I mean.
And...
Hey, I must be third for once. I'm Mark.
The boys are back in town, guys!
Yes!
That's right!
After so many weeks of bullshit,
things finally worked out in our favor for once, and we don't have to be alone with each other.
Yeah. I hate to leave y'all hanging, but, bullshit. Life is just filled with bullshit. And when you're done with bullshit, it goes into another heaping of bullshit. Over and over and over again until you die.
Okay, that's one way of putting it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, episode 44 of the podcast. Shit, we're like 60 away. I'm 6 away from 50. Why did I say 60? Shit.
We're 60 away from 100.
Well, I mean, technically we're 56 away from 100, but that's about another year or so from here.
Yeah.
So, I guess how have things been going with everyone this past week or so?
Well, yeah, I've been busy. I've been away from here for a couple of weeks because of life, family, getting carpeting put in my house, work and more work, doing another show for the website, and just madness. Pure, complete, utter fucking madness. And I'm very tired.
Sounds like a family fun time.
God, I hate my family sometimes.
It's okay, we hate your family too.
How dare you? You don't even know them.
Oh, really? You think I don't know them?
Yes,
your uncle's named Marv, right?
No.
Is your mom named Janet?
No.
Is your dad named Marty?
I have no dad.
So then who the hell have I been spying on for the past month?
Hell if I knew. Maybe you've been spying on Jan Michael Vincent's family.
Excuse me, it's Jan Quadrant Vincent. Thank you very much.
Season 3, this Sunday. Hooray!
Yeah! Hopefully there'll be some sauce.
Seth Von Sauce! We need the sauce! We need that sauce! It's my story arc, Morty!
By the way, how bullshit is it that Justin Roiland is getting a fucking bottle of the sauce sent to him by McDonald's, personally?
Yeah.
Can he send us some? With some nuggets, by the way?
Yeah, like, I'll buy, like, a 20-piece, and we'll split it amongst the three of us. Somehow.
Don't bog up that sauce. Don't bog up my... God, can I talk? Right. Don't bogart that sauce, Justin. Blech.
Well, see, Mark, it's really easy, okay? 6 for me, 6 for Alex, 6 for Mark, and then we gladiatorial-style deathmatch for the last two.
I have a wiffle ball bat, and I will smack you across the head with it until you die, which might actually take a while.
I have this Alex. Glock!
Oh, yeah? Well, I have the Slender Man. That's right, I have outdated creepypasta references from the 2010s.
I have something even more impenetrable than that. A plastic ceiling fan!
I have these cheese crackers, I don't know. Shit.
Also, I have Rob's drums to use as weapons.
Wait, what the fuck? Jesus Christ, I was wondering where those went. What are you even going to do with them?
I don't know. Throw people through them? Hit them on the head with them?
And, by the way, what did I tell you about what touching my drum set?
Yeah. You tell me a lot of things.
Whatever.
So it's good to be back.
Yeah, we missed you. Anything exciting on your end, Mark?
Hell no!
As for me, you know, just been working, saving that money, going to a convention this weekend, so that ought to be a fun way to spend a couple days. Ooh, I saw War for the Planet of the Apes this past weekend.
Oh.
if Michael Giacchino doesn't win the Oscar for best score for that movie, I am going to shit a brick.
I think we know what's going to be winning the Oscars next year, and it's a movie that's coming out this coming Friday.
I know, right? It's very clearly going to go down as an obvious cinematic classic, the greatest of all time, a goat, if you will. And that is, of course, The Emoji Movie.
I was actually going to say Atomic Blonde, but okay.
Starring T.J. Miller in theaters July 28th.
Go see Atomic Blonde instead!
Well, look, okay, I would, but again, I'm going to be at a convention.
Make some time!
Plus, I still have to catch up with Valerian, and also, I gotta find some time to see Dunkirk before Thursday, because that's when the one theater that's doing, like, the 70mm screenings near my house, like, takes it off the schedule. Yeah, nice to have those around. Oh, also, for some reason, I've been endlessly rewatching that trailer for that new J.G. Quintel show.
Yes!
Oh, yes!
Looks so good!
We're just doing our taxes, sweetie!
Butt cheeks, butt cheeks, butt cheeks, butt cheeks.
Huge is spelled with an E.
Damn it! Toffee $5!
Smooth move, hug dick.
We're big regular show fans, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, and close enough looks like it's just gonna be a grand old fun time. Whenever the hell it comes out. Soon!
The fall.
They say, or early 2018.
Like, of all the trailers TBS posted, this is the only one that actually has finished animation, not just, you know, animatics.
That is true. You know, I gotta see if I can convince Tyler to let me write about it for the site, if he ever wants us to do another Western animated show.
Mm-hmm.
But it is what it is, I suppose. We'll find out when the time comes. And speaking of time coming... Wow, that is a horrible segue. Let's get into the new song discussions for the past week of tunes. Of course, as always, there will be a link down in the description if you want to follow along, listen, and then, you know, come back to us for our opinions on it. So, starting right from the top, you know, it's a good thing we have Alex back, because I can't just do the metal song discussion solo. I need a fellow metal brother in arms to bounce things off of. So, to open up tonight, we have a new single by the band Einziferum. It is a track from their newest album, Two Paths, coming out September 15th, and it is, of course, called For Those About to Fight for Metal.
Mm-hmm.
See? Brothers in Arms. We gotta stick together.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Einziferum just... Their whole catalog, and this song in particular, is about what you expect as far as power metal. You know, it has those very fast, tremolo, neoclassical guitar patterns, accentuated by, you know, orchestral melodies and those big, like, medieval times choir vocals. Not to mention plenty of big horns just, you know, accentuating the beat. And, of course, the actual song itself, it goes, you know, very fast, thrashy as hell. And, of course, the vocals are very loud and boisterous, and they empower you to be, like... the grand supreme metal person who will take down the enemies of metal or something. I don't know. It gets you pumped. It gets you going.
Yeah. There are a lot of real Celtic vibes to this song, especially in the intro. It sounds like a really metal Irish drinking song that you just want to dance a jig to. Just, hee-hee-hoo! Pour me another bottle of whiskey, laddie! That was terrible. I am so sorry.
Come on, man, I thought you actually were Irish.
No, Italian.
Wait, Spanish. What's the difference?
The difference is we have good taste in alcohol. Wine.
Oh, please, wine is crap.
I wouldn't know, I wouldn't drink it anyway.
See, you wouldn't even know, wimp.
Yeah. Oh, a wimp am I, because I choose to not drink alcohol?
Yes, that makes you a wimp, you fucking weakling. Casual scrub, get on my level.
I am going to shove your head through your bass drum.
Oh yeah? Try it, motherfucker.
I'm knocking on your door. Better answer.
Oh, please. I can tell that's not my door. Fucking liar. But anyway, moving on to the next song. Diddy. Or is it Puff Daddy? Or is it just Daddy? I don't know what the fuck he calls himself now.
Either one, I don't know. Just say Diddy. Who gives them? So
Larry King's daddy.
Yeah, whatever. So he has a somewhat of a new joint featuring Rick Ross and apparently yes, Biggie Smalls, aka Notorious B.I.G., aka wait, you still getting shit from him even though he's been dead for almost 20 years?
Yeah, where the hell did they get that thing from? Jesus fuck.
I'm guessing it's like how they might record a lot of shit before they die. It's like, you know what? If I die, I'm gonna record a lot of shit. Just this verse, that verse, like, okay, like, anyway, the song here is called What You Gonna Do, and I'm gonna just say this, sounds like a song that I feel like it's from 20 years ago, because the one says, like, yeah, I recognize the Across 110th Street sample at the beginning, and then the production sounds like pretty much what I usually hear from Bad Boy, like, way back in the day, or at least around the mid-2000s, I would hear something like that. I mean, don't get much to say about the song. It's like, here, Diddy and some parts, he's mad. Rick Ross is Rick Ross. And Biggie Smalls like, okay, it's good to hear him, but it's like, okay.
Yeah, this definitely sounds like they just took, like, an old recording that maybe they just had lying around somewhere and just kind of, like, just cleaned it up a little bit. Yes. Yeah, it's a weird kind of from the vault thing. Like, maybe if they were releasing, like, I don't know, a Biggie Smalls rarities and B-sides and lost songs collection, maybe. But, yeah, this just seems like a weird thing to just kind of put out there because reasons. Anyway, moving on to the next two songs. New entries in the Adult Swim singles program. That's right, two. And this time, we have one that wasn't officially listed in part of the official ones. You know, kind of like when we had the Ghost main track from, like, a month or so ago.
Yeah.
So, first off, we have this track from the band Deerhoof, which apparently features guest contributions from someone called Awkwafina, spelled with, like, a really weird, like, W's and K's because reasons. And apparently,
because poor literacy sells nothing.
And it's actually a single from an album they're releasing on September 8th called Mountain Moves. The track is titled Your Dystopic Creation Doesn't Fear You. And, yeah, it's some college radio indie rock thing. Like, you listen to the intro and sort of the chorus-ish thing, there's this friggin' jangly, you know, sort of clean but sort of overdriven guitars at the same time. And then when you get into the actual verse, the melody sort of switches into something slightly more, with a in-your-face, trying-to-be-menacing sort of vibe. Well, as menacing as you can get within the context of college radio indie rock. Heck, the guitars even pick up, like, a bit of distortion, like, just to accentuate that particular melody. It's, yeah, stuff like this just kind of occasionally rubs off on me, but, I mean, it's kind of interesting, to say the least. I don't know if anyone has any thoughts or anything.
Yeah, it's an interesting listen, to be honest. Like, I guess, this sounds some weird twangy, I guess it's indie rock. I don't know much about indie rock, but okay. It sounds like, and I want to say, was Awkwafina trying to rap or something? Because I think it was sort of like a bit of rapping. It's like, okay.
I guess, honestly, I couldn't pick out where Awkwafina was in this. I guess I'm just bad at that.
I don't have much to say, but I do want to point out something from what Deerhoof said about their song. It's in the Stereo Gum piece, and I'm just... My mind is baffled by this. It says, in the second paragraph, many Americans suddenly in search of strategies for surviving state repression are turning away from witless neoliberal politicians who exploit fear to amass more power for themselves. Like, what are you talking about? It's the other side who's doing all that shit.
Well, see, here's the thing. It's the right wing, yes, but we're also talking about mainstream liberals who are complicit in trying to play nice with Republicans. See, this is why you all need to go full communist. Go actual leftist and seize the motherfucking memes of production. And that's right, I said memes. Because communist memes will be the economy of the future.
The way I see it, one side is stupid, the other side is evil, and we're all fucked, no matter what. So, yeah, I'm gonna go with you on that one, Rob.
Ah, yes, comrade. Soon our numbers will grow even further.
And we will celebrate with turnips.
Yeah, well, sure, that too.
American Dad, motherfucker, do you watch it?
Yes, I do. Haven't watched it in a while. I usually just wait for reruns on Adult Swim. And now we move on to our second Adult Swim single for this week, one that was actually scheduled beforehand, from the artist Helado Negro, releasing a new single called Come Be Me. And it's alright. You know, the main, it starts off with like this very low-key twinkling melody, kind of this 80s R&B or like modern synth-pop-ish thing with just, you know, the actual songwriting and even the vocal performance. Heck, the actual singing here, in a weird way, almost kind of has a tinge of like Kings of Leon to it. And, you know, it sounds pleasant and nice. I can almost imagine playing this if I was trying to like seduce someone or get them in the mood maybe, but I don't know, I can't imagine listening to this outside of that. It's just kind of, again, it just kind of washes off you.
I do kind of picture it as something to play to get in the mood. Actually, I got to see it. Actually, yeah, it is more that like very synthy sound, which you get from the song. But yeah, the song like it's all right.
Yeah. So who knows? Maybe next week's will give us something, I guess, more interesting to talk about. As far as AS singles. Who knows? Maybe next week could be Paul Bearer. Or it could be maybe another single from this next band up on the list. So, veering back into stuff that could totally get you in the mood, black metal.
Hey.
That was supposed to be a joke. But anyway, so black metal act Wolves in the Throne Room have announced their latest album, Thrice Woven, due out August 23rd. And we have the first single and video, Born in the Serpent's Eye. Now, you have to actually listen to the soul, like, audio-only version to get the full experience. The video they recorded only really covers about, like, the first 4.5 minutes of the song, which is basically the first half. The full thing is, of course, you know, 10 minutes, because brevity is for morons. But, yeah, so, this is... While Wolves in the Throne Room's last album saw them going into purely synth-driven... dramatically dark ambient territory, this one is trying to return back to, you know, the black metal soundings of the album before. I forget whether that was one was called Celestial Legions or Celeste. I always get those two names mixed up. But yeah, this song, you know, there's the ominous acoustic intro, which leads into, you know, the grinding obnoxious black metal, which is occasionally broken up by some, you know, synth stuff thrown in, I guess trying to carry that over from, you know, the last release. Then when you, of course, you're listening to the longer version, when there's that break, there's this female choir, you know, the ominous female Latin choir that every song like this needs. It kicks in, which goes into this kind of slow, heavy breakdown thing, and then just kind of the song just swells more and more from there into these grand epic sweeps, and I'm just thinking, you know, this is kind of boring. Can we go back to the ambient shit? Please? And yeah, that's basically all I have to say.
I felt nothing for this. I'll say it again. Black metal is not my cup of tea. It's just... It very rarely works for me. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Hey, boy. But welcome to life, I guess. But now, moving on to stuff that actually, you know, can get my attention... 10 Tricks Boy Never has released yet another track from his score to the upcoming film Good Time, which I believe is out in theaters August 11th. I know it's when the soundtrack's out, but I'm not sure if that's like a Friday or anything.
Yeah, I think it is.
And we've gotten one of these, you know, instrumental pieces from the soundtrack called Leaving the Park. How ominous.
All right, then I'll start. So, this is definitely a very ominous track. It is something you feel out of a film score. Although we'll say it almost sounds like a video game score. Like once going into the middle of it, it does kind of send your synthy sound you respect from OPN at this point. I did like some of like the make some of the synth parts like in the middle. I totally dig this track in the score, so at least what I heard from the score so far. I mean, I know it's like there's like 12 or 13 tracks total of it so far, at least from what I heard. But it's a bit not just really mesmerizing, and does leave you want to hear more of what's gonna be in the movie and the score with all that.
I bet it's gonna play during a scene where someone leaves a park. What?
You are so much better than that, Rob.
Since when?
We expect more from you. We don't know why, but we do.
Well, you should learn to be very disappointed. For fuck's sake, I opened this podcast with a fucking Alan tutorial reference. Do I look like I have standards?
Clearly no.
But yeah, as for the actual song itself, I will say, yeah, there's definitely a lot of layers to it. Like, it opens very simply with, like, just this 3-4 rhythm synth melody with some minor actual switch-ups, but nothing too immediately major. And then it just kind of, like, layers and layers with more additional synth qualities. And then once the second half of the tune, there's some light percussive touches, and then, like, the synth melody becomes more like it's trying to play a solo, as just, you know, the bass synths and other, you know, melodies all just kind of intermix and swirl with each other. Good track, and again, I can't wait for the movie to come out. There's only like, hell, it's a few weeks from now, so
yep.
Hey, good to know. And now, moving on to The Contortionist, who have released the second single from their upcoming September 15th release, Clairvoyance. And the single is called Absolve, which, at least according to the outlet that premiered it, a Revolver magazine, heck, even in the URL, it says, listen-contortionist-opeth-esque-new-song.
Okay, is the term opeth-esque becoming the new insert game is the Dark Souls of insert genre? Like, I've seen this way too often.
Yeah, really? Because I can't say I've seen it around all that much. Like, I don't know, maybe it'll become like the metal equivalent of saying some hip-hop thing is trap-flavored.
Let's not bring Melon into this.
But anyway, go on.
Eight. Yeah. Okay, is this Contortionist track Opeth-esque? Well, a little? I mean, it's got the guitar work and the stripped-down vocal approach to it. Sure. No, okay, I'll leave it that much. But the halftime drum patterns that fill the song, they aren't that familiar to Opeth all that much. So, maybe? Kind of in parts? I guess? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to sort of, if this sounded like an Opeth track, where would it be? And I guess, I want to say Heritage?
Yeah, probably lighter side of Watershed or Heritage.
Or, God, what was the album that came before Pale Communion?
That was Heritage.
Oh, right. Shit, I always get the continuity of those albums screwed up. But, yeah, you do kind of hear it a little bit with just, like, a lot of echoing clean guitar chords, just very ambient across, like, wait, was it a halftime? Because I was counting it more as, like, a 6-8, like, tempo and drum groove.
It felt like a halftime approach to the drums, and like sort of towards the later sections of the songs, it just sort of had this really slowed down snare pattern to it.
Yeah, I mean, that in particular, like, I mean, I was sort of counting 6-8, but then once I got into like the chorus segments, let's say, the snare placement just starts getting more off kilter and all over the place, so it's kind of hard to pin it down.
Yeah.
But
when I think of drum patterns in Opeth, I think of something a little more, you know, up-tempo and sort of, I can only think of like some of the patterns in the Pale Communion songs where they're very snappy, very 70s progressive rock. Not so much this.
Pretty much. Fair assessment, but hey, I'm still looking forward to the album. From this and the past single, I'm guessing they're probably going to go a more full ambient vibe. Possibly, I guess, like the more melodic side of maybe Tesseract, but a little less distorted. Who knows?
Probably.
Yeah, so. But yeah, as for the last song this week, we apparently got a posthumous track from the recently deceased Mobb Deep.
Technically, one of them is dead.
Well, okay, one person of Mobb Deep, but you know what I mean. I'm not good with words today.
Okay, I'll take over. So yeah, like you said, we got check from Mobb Deep, and it's actually off the producer Alchemist. Is actually, he got a project out called Good Book Volume 2 with another producer named Budgie. Anyway, the track we got is called Try My Hand. Now, I also like sometimes, like, I gotta say, the production, I do like that melancholy, grimy street production that I always love in Alchemist. It is very haunting and mesmerizing to listen to. And like I said, for Mobb Deep having a prodigy, yeah, these are two motherfuckers that haven't lost their step. They prove they still, they can rap at the game. And the most that prodigy lyrics, he does a damn good job here too. Although now, thinking about that, now it's more the press effect that, well, he ain't here anymore. But this is still a pretty dope track. I mean, I know, like the album's out now if you want to listen to more of that, although I think it's just more of it's more Alchemist project than Mobb Deep, But hey, Alchemist is a good producer too, which I would recommend if you for more of that, more of that street, when that street hop production, if you like that. Just saying.
And sadly, this is the one track that my dumbass forgot to actually listen to, so I can't offer any further commentary. It's just things have been busy on my end, let's say. So, yeah, that basically covers all the new songs for the past week or so. We're going to take a little bit of a break, and when we come back, we only have about 3 news topics to discuss. See you in a bit. And we're back. As I said, we only had 3 news topics. Unfortunately, a lot of the news kind of got swallowed up by this first topic, which is where the entire music world was kind of focusing in on. So, and we're just going to leave it more or less to Alex to cover this one, because he wanted to speak on it. So, go ahead.
Yeah, this is why I wanted to be here, because this is kind of a personal thing for me. So, I'm sure you all know that last Thursday, Chester Bennington, the lead singer of Linkin Park, unfortunately and tragically committed suicide in his home in Southern California by hanging. And, you know, we're in a day and age where, you know, musicians and, you know, people within the music industry that we as fans look up to and admire and idolize are suddenly just dying left and right, and it's a damning thing to witness, seeing people who helped shape you, you know, whether it's in your youth or your adolescence or even your adulthood, suddenly just vanish by one way or the other. And I will say this, I was shocked when I heard the news that Chris Cornell committed suicide, but when I woke up on Thursday and saw this news, I just felt numb inside. Like, this was something I did not see coming. And I know that I have not been so complimentary of Linkin Park in the past couple of months, but the fact remains, you know, this was a band and a group that helped shape my musical tastes as a child. I got into them at the height of Meteor, 2003-2004. That was a pivotal moment in my musical discovery. And that's when I got into them, you know, with Meteor and Hyper Theory and Minutes to Midnight. Those are all seminal albums that I can still go back and listen to, but I probably won't go back to listen to for a while, because I've been going back to just listen to some of these songs, and the lyrics are, I'll just say, it's eerie. It's so eerie how some of these songs shape into this event almost perfectly. Like, the signs were there, and, you know, anybody will tell you, you know, going by history, yeah, he's had problems with, you know, familial abuse and alcohol abuse and drug abuse, all that kind of stuff. But just to have it just take over you in one instance, it's a hard thing to come to grips with. And, you know, it just comes back to the stigma of, you know, suicide and depression and mental illness, because a lot of people still either don't know or remain ignorant about the case and causes behind, you know, mental trauma and mental illness and all that kind of stuff. They don't know that it's not a switch you can just turn on and off. When you have to deal with something like a depression or any kind of mental illness, it sticks with you for a long time, if not forever. And speaking as someone who struggles to cope with, you know, depression, I've been dealing with depression for the better part of 13 years now, it's a fight. It is a daily fight to just try to get up in the morning, let alone, you know, go about your day as if, hey, you're happy. Nothing wrong with you. But it all goes, I'm just going back to, you know, the fact that he hung himself just like that. Gone. That's what depression does. It makes you think these thoughts that you're alone. There's nobody around with you. There's no point of going on. But that's not the case. Anyone out there listening, if you feel that way, just know, you are not alone. You are not hopeless. You are not helpless. You have support with you. That's why I say, find somebody you can rely on, like I do. Because there will be times where you're going to need that support, and I promise you, they will be there for you to help pick you up and dust you off, and just, whether it's just something as small as a text message or a phone call, or just, you know, sitting there with that support just silently for hours on end. That's what you need. You need that support with you. But I don't know. I'm just rambling. I've been in a funk for the past couple of days trying to deal with this event, this just fact now, I guess you could say. But credit where it's due. Linkin Park has... they did the right call with canceling their planned tour, which they were going to start later this month. But I have to ask, how are they going to go on without Chester Bennington with them to sing? Like, I can't imagine them trying to find another singer like that and just carrying on, because this is a band, for the most part, that has been with the same lineup for almost 20 years. Like, these people were friends. They were family, but I just don't know. I'm done.
Yeah, I would add more to this, but I'm kind of the last person who should be saying anything, because, like, you all probably, if you're listening to this, you probably read when I reviewed One More Light, so in retrospect, yeah. I kind of feel like I was part of it, because I imagine that if that's what he was going through, like, you hear it in the lyrics on that album, having a bunch of people telling you to fuck off kind of, you know, the last straw, so...
Yeah, the power of hindsight, you know, being what it is, we could probably go back to this with a fresher mindset and say, wow, okay, yeah, this was a lot clearer, but, you know, it is what it is. We feel what we feel in the moment. We can't, you know, escape it. But I think now a lot more people will have a sense of clarity and will have a better sense of understanding, you know, whether it's going through their catalog or with One More Light. But God, just Just like that. Just dead. Gone. That's a tough thing to really take in.
Yeah, I can't really say anymore, like I said. So, with as downer as that is, we got to move on to the other two stories. So, speaking of shit that's downer and frustrating, how about our dumbass in chief, eh? We're going somewhere with this, don't worry. Yeah, I really don't get this guy at all. It just seems like he bounces between so much bullshit thoughts, one after the other, without any intelligence or clarity on anything. Including the fact that for some reason, he wants you to believe that China is an enemy of the United States. Which, I don't understand. How can you hate China? You know, their culture is very rich and storied with cool traditions and whatnot. They're kicking our ass when it comes to technology and science. Oh, and did I mention they banned Justin Bieber?
Hey! Okay. That is good news.
Okay, so as part of his Purpose World Tour, which I think he may have canceled at least part of it. I believe his U.S. dates at least he had to postpone.
So, I think the news broke earlier that he's just saying, yeah, no, I'm going to take some time to rest. I'm canceling the tour.
Oh, so the whole tour. So, okay, so at some point he was scheduled to actually fly into Asia, you know, Indonesia, Japan, the Philippines, Singapore, and Hong Kong. But any of his fans in, you know, the mainland of China were, you know, just going to be straight up disappointed. Now, in a statement posted on the website of Beijing's Culture Bureau, they explained that, quote, unspecified misdemeanors mean the artist, who has had repeated run-ins with the law, as we've mentioned once or twice here, including, you know, the drunken drag racing in a yellow Lamborghini, was apparently unsuitable for Chinese ears. Again, another quote here. Justin Bieber is a gifted singer, but he is also a controversial young foreign singer. Apparently, this was all in response to a fan demanding a detailed explanation as to why he hasn't, you know, performed there in a while. And even saying, as far as we are concerned, he has engaged in a series of bad behaviors, both in his social life and during a previous performance in China, which caused discontent among the public.
In other words, he's still fucking up.
Yeah, which, you know, now that I think about it, that reminds me. I don't think he ever attended that court date he was supposed to in Miami, so does that mean the Miami PD is still out for his ass, just like China? Hey, maybe y'all can work together. Bring this ruffian to justice.
And take Jake Paul with you, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh shit, him too.
Yeah,
what the fuck is that Jake Paul, and why the hell do I know he exists?
Some Disney doofus who's just an asshole.
Oh, yeah, he doxed that Post Malone guy from what I heard. Asshole.
Oh, there you go. Asshole.
But yeah, this is, you know I should feel bad because technically this actually does count as, and I'm not using this word lightly, I'm actually using this word in the absolute correct definition of it. This is technically censorship because the government is barring Bieber from performing in their country. And, you know, when the government gets involved, that's when it becomes, like, actual censorship and not just, someone blocked me on Twitter. On the other hand, though, is anything of value really being lost here when we're kicking the Biebs out of China?
No, not really.
Exactly. See, these guys get it. There's just, nothing is being lost. So, what's the Chinese phrase for bye-bye fuckface?
Fuck if I know.
I think it's just bye-bye fuckface.
Come on, aren't you guys supposed to be like fucking weeaboos knowledgeable in Chinese animes and whatnot?
Only a centaur's life. Everything else is made in Japan.
Oh, please. What even is in Japan? That sounds like something you just made up on the spot. Japan. Next thing you know, yeah, You're going to say, like, I don't know, Britain is a thing. Liar.
And so is your face.
Oh, please. I don't have a face. I'm actually Sin Cara.
So you're a terrible Mexican wrestler, okay.
Exactly. But, yeah, you know, that's all fun and games. But now let's move on to our third and final news topic, something that's actually more interesting and we might be able to get some more discussion out of. So there's been a report that actually floated by in this past week, and if I can get the fucking thing to scroll, goddammit. Oh, there it is. Okay, so the Nielsen Company's music division released its annual mid-year report measuring how the music industry is doing halfway through the year. You know, songs and albums that are performing at their best, you know, and just the general state of things. And they revealed, you know, some interesting stats. Perhaps most interesting, for the first time since the Nielsen Company started measuring music consumption, R&B and hip-hop together have finally managed to usurp rock music as the most listened to and consumed styles of music across, you know, all mediums. to go into specific percentages, R&B and hip-hop combined now make up a total of 25.1% of all music consumption in the U.S., while rock music is only about 23%. Now, to break down the details a little bit further, if you look through the actual distribution mediums, streaming is pretty much the big reason why this change-up is the case. Although it's also worth noting that as far as actual, you know, album sales, rock is still, you know, on top at 40%. Although, again, total record numbers are, you know, still dwindling every year, so, you know, there's a lot of adjustments over there. And if you want a specific number on the streams, hip-hop and R&B together make up about 29%, just over, of all streamed music in the country. In fact, it's almost as popular as far as streaming, like on Spotify and Apple Music, it's listed as being almost as popular as rock and pop combined. So rock music needs the aid of pop in order to sort of match or slightly usurp hip-hop in terms of streaming. So, okay, that's certainly an interesting development as far as the economics and popularity of music genres. And I also want to point out that I think a couple days after this list came out, but I think it may have been recorded before this news came out, there was a video over on the Melons channel from the Dead End Hip Hop crew where they were actually discussing why exactly hip-hop had become a more dominant cultural force than rock music in the U.S. Although I don't think they brought up anything related to this article in particular. I still thought it was a lot of interesting stuff over there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I do think they're bringing some good interesting points about that, about how, like, hip-hop culture has you know, have become enough to, you know, to get more some attention of when it comes to music and other things, too.
Yeah, first off, because there's quite a lot of arguments and angles that you can look at this one, but the one that I'm kind of fascinated by is the streaming argument, because, okay, we've brought it up quite a bit in the past few weeks, you know, the various ups and downs of SoundCloud, and, you know, joking about the rappers and their shitty mixtapes, but you kind of have to think about it in the sense that, okay, part of why SoundCloud became, like, the big online source for rap music, as opposed to Bandcamp, which is often seen as for more, you know, underground rock and metal releases, you know, more sophisticated, so to speak, is because SoundCloud's format and its overall, you know, just how it works is kind of more conducive to how hip-hop music has always been released and distributed, even dating back to, like, the 90s, because, you know, back before, you couldn't just put your mixtape on the internet. You had to, like, you know, have a bunch of tapes, you had to just give them out to motherfuckers for free. You know, people were
pretty
were probably collecting and trading that shit like Pokemon cards.
Yeah, and that's how Metallica got big.
Yeah, but I can never touch that because there'd be that one guy that say, "Yo, man, check this mixtape. It's good for the fan, man. Check this out." Like, I definitely say one or two people that come across with that before it's like, okay, or keep saying, "I got no money, so I can't help you, brother. I'm sorry."
Wait, they make you pay for mixtapes that they just hand to you? I thought those were free. What is this?
Sometimes they do. Sometimes you gotta pay for them.
But yeah,
They gotta eat too.
True, but yeah, sort of like what Alex said. Like, sure, Metallica did that too, but rap is really where, like, that became sort of a signature feature of its distribution, and SoundCloud, for as long as it's been around. Again, it facilitated that because it just naturally works with how rap guys put out their music. And, mm-hmm. Oh, were you going to say something?
Nope. I'm just going to say, yeah, rock is dead. Dead for a while. I'm not surprised by this. I blame Imagine Dragons.
Okay, maybe. I mean, if you want to give an unnuanced answer, sure. Another thing that angle that I think you kind of have to look at it from is, in particular, to quote Mike Seatown, to paraphrase his arguments, we're still in a state of culture where hip-hop is not accepted by, like, your parents. Because, think about it, like, as he said, back in the days when the Beatles were popular, old people were like, what the fuck, this isn't Elvis, this is Buddy Rich, this ain't Buddy Holly, fuck this. Eventually, it became normalized. When metal came around, and I'm talking, like, you know, your Judas Priest-type metal, people were like, oh, fuck, this is, you know, just in-your-face garbage, I don't want to accept this. But eventually, it just kind of became normal. Hell, even punk on some level got normalized and accepted by the past generation, but with hip-hop, we're still in a place where even though it's universal and a constant part of culture, it's still sort of rejected by the past generation, which, you know, kind of helps its appeal because it seems more rebellious to, you know, the edgelords who want to seek out their, you know, XXX temptations or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. And that's the fact that the hip-hop do tend to, you know, they do want to be rebellious. Like they can try to appeal to more people than just is like and make, you know, different types of hip hop, like, you know, you got stuff like you know, the house of people like Migos, some like Trap Houses, some like Death Grips, some like, you get what I'm saying? Like sometimes like there's now tons of hip hop that might appeal to somebody that may not like it that may not like it in the first place, but they can find a sound that can attract to people. This shit might help to the cause of that.
Pretty much. Although, you could argue the same thing about, like, the diversity of rock and metal, but again, like, we're at a point where that's kind of normalized, and, you know, to Alex's point, like, the Imagine Dragons thing, I know he said that as a joke, but it does kind of point to the idea that rock has become kind of a little edgeless as far as what hits the mainstream. Whereas, even, like, if you look at pop rappers, like, even Lil Yachty, there still is a little bit of a perceived edge there, even if it's, you know, total bullshit. And I think another angle that you kind of have to look at this from, and, you know, maybe Alex can provide some expertise here, is you have to think about the actual logistics of what it takes to get a rock record made versus what it takes to get hip-hop records or any kind of hip-hop music made. I'm sure, I don't know if Alex has tried to record anything, like, with any bands or anything, but I'm pretty sure it's a logistical sort of nightmare to get a rock record produced, because you have to coordinate a schedule between anywhere from 3 to 5 people, depending on how big your band is, coordinate all their schedules with a, you know, record producer. You gotta grab a whole bunch of instrumentations, you gotta, you know, be driving that from place to place, you gotta, you know, spend a lot of time getting it set up to, you know, getting it all recorded, and then spend however much fucking time it takes, you know, just mashing all that shit together into a cohesive project, which fuck knows how long it's gonna take, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but then you look at a hip-hop person where, you know, sure, there's hip-hop groups, certainly, sure, but for the most part, hip-hop is just like, you know, you got one guy, all you have to do is find, like, a decent bit of recording equipment, you know, you could probably, whoever is interested in making beats is probably gonna, you know, crack or torrent some version of, like, you know, Cubase, Logic Pro, fucking, hell, FL Studio, if that's your thing, you know, just crank out a handful of beats in there, record some freestyles about how you're single like a Pringle.
What the fuck?
Yes, that was a jab at 21 Savage.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for listening to the album, which I haven't yet. Oh, fuck.
Good luck with that. But yeah, there's just a lot less of a logistics nightmare involved when it comes to actually making hip-hop music, which is part of why it's spread out and propagated so much. You know, there's just less to worry about. Just one guy, a mic, some beats on his computer, bam, you could probably crank out like 5 or 6 songs in like a week tops.
So an EP then. And also you make sure your sound mixer does your shit right, or you gotta sound real fucking dumb. Ain't that right, Kodak Black?
Yeah, I'm really fascinated by this, but I'm kind of wondering if there's a point where the pendulum may swing either back in the opposite direction, or maybe it's somewhere completely different. Because again, going back to the mainstream acceptance argument, while hip-hop is not just dominant in terms of statistics and streams, but also in terms of cultural prominence, you know, everything from, you know, movies and TV shows to even video games that occasionally incorporate hip-hop soundtracks, you know, your GTAs, your Need for Speeds, hell, Mad World. I bet you motherfuckers forgot about that game, didn't you, you fucking plebeians? But anyway, but is it possible that at some point, maybe not in the next 5 years or even the next 10 years, let's say maybe like 15 years, will there be a point where hip hop is ultimately accepted by the mainstream, where it's not completely rejected out of hand by, like, you know, the previous generation, by like our parents or, cause shit, but in about 15 years, we're basically going to be like those parents and we'll have grown up through this and we'll all just be like, yeah, whatever. We're just kind of numb to it at this point. But then the pendulum will swing back either, you know, maybe to rock music, maybe it picks up some more edge by then, or who knows, maybe it'll just swing to some completely new genre that we're unaware of.
Or maybe EDM.
Possibly. Progressive vegetarian grindcore. It's coming.
Well, I mean, that's what cattle decapitation is. Well, you
know. Coming again for the second coming.
Okay, how do I say this? Shit, it'll just be a metal band featuring the cow from Barnyard.
Yeah.
By the way, when is that movie gonna become a shit-posted meme? But anyway, so, yeah. Who knows? Maybe once we get to the second half of the year and Nielsen releases the rest of their data, it may look different. Like, maybe not just on, like, the second 6 months, but also in terms of just the year as a whole, but hey, who knows? Yeah, it's kind of a really interesting topic of discussion. I don't know if y'all have any last words before we move on.
Nope. Well, I've said my piece.
I will say this. Maybe, who knows, the next 15 years, what might be the new vaporwave before I know.
Hey, I will have you know that vaporwave is a thing right now, and it is not dead, despite what the memes tell you. Aesthetic. Please, Papa Frank JFC, please notice me, Senpai. And teach me how to new Jabez and J Dilla in person. What? I have my reasons. Shut up.
You just said words, and I don't know what they meant.
What, you don't know what new Jabez and J Dilla mean?
Together, no. Individually, yes.
They both have very similar styles if you think about it for long enough.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a complicated pal.
Dude, I think they were born on the same day or some shit. I don't know. The point is, the good producers that are gone too soon. So yeah.
Yeah, but we're going on a tangent at this point. So yeah, rounding it out. Congratulations, hip hop. You win for now.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually. Go ahead.
You win because the rock genre is in just crap.
In the mainstream, yes, but the underground, it will never die.
Right.
Oh, also, I'm pretty sure Adult Swim had some part in this, I'd like to imagine. Again,
of course.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, remember, they're one of like the biggest cultural forces in terms of music, and since the bread and butter is basically a bunch of hip hop, you know, representing the ATL and all, makes sense. So, yeah, that basically rounds out that topic, and now all we have to take care of is the new album releases for this Friday, July 28th, 2017. Starting from the top, we have the latest album from longstanding shock rocker Alice Cooper, titled Paranormal. The newest album from Groove Metalers, Prong, titled 0 Days. We have the newest album from rapper Vic Mensa, titled The Autobiography. We have a new collaborative release from Mr. Leaf and Acrobatic titled Resolution. We have the sophomore release from progressive metalcore act Oceans 8 Alaska titled Hikari. We have Rings of Saturn with their latest release Ultu Ula.
Your pain gives me joy.
Shut up, I'm not even going to be reviewing that album that week. However, I will, at least during that week, probably be touching on, and I can't believe I missed this in the checklist, the debut album from Canadian Softball titled Awkward and Depressed. I'm both of those things.
24/7.
Absolutely.
So am I.
We have the debut album from XXL freshman Amine titled Good For You. And we can finally figure out what the hell is up with him on that goddamn toilet.
I need to look at.
And of course, we have the latest album from indie rockers Arcade Fire titled Everything Now. Speaking of things that are diluting the idea of rock, but I'm getting ahead of myself. I can, of course. I don't know shit about Arcade Fire. Barely. And so that basically covers all the big topics and shit that we had to hit. So now is the part where we clean house and get the hell out of here. So obviously Alex goes first since it's been a while since he's been on here.
Okay, I'm still Aura of Azure on Twitter, Instagram, IRC, BBS, Reel to Reel, and that's it.
Don't forget Azure _ Aura on Twitch, I think. I don't know, he hasn't
done whenever it. I'm doing that, because, you know, I have no time.
Yeah, he ain't got time for these niggas.
And I need to get Elgato so I can actually play, you know, Switch games and other consoles.
Hee-bully. I want to join you guys in the Splatoon.
Buy a Switch. You too, John.
Nigga, do I look like I'm made of money?
Well, you're going to a convention and a music festival, so, yeah.
And why do you think I don't have money for a Switch?
That sounds like a personal problem.
I'll give you a personal problem. But we're going on a tangent. So, Mark, where can they find you on the internet?
As usual, on Twitter via Mac2HyperMedia. And, of course, on my site, the Mind of Hybrid One at thehybrid1.wordpress.com. Hey, I did a review. It is on Attack on Titan Season 2. Short version. It's good. Short version. It's good. I like it better. Matter of fact, I think it's better when it's 12 episodes. It cuts the fat.
And now we just have to wait a year for Season 3. God damn it.
Y'all can wait.
And who knows what's going to happen, but hopefully Levi finally dies.
Maybe there'll actually be a kiss in the third season, unlike the last episode. God damn it!
Look, are you just mad because there wasn't a lot of boning between, you know, Aaron and our homegirl Mikasa?
Boning makes everything better. You know that.
That's not entirely true.
That's true.
I mean, boning didn't make the room better.
Well, to be fair, nothing can make the room better.
Except spoons.
More football. And spoons. And the Golden Gate Bridge.
I'll get the tuxedos. By the way, how about that disaster artist, eh?
It looks interesting enough.
Yeah. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Rob Barracuda. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns about the podcast or music-related stuff for the site, you can email me robert@surrealresolution.com. And if you have any hate mail you want to send our way, you can also send it to alex@surrealresolution.com.
Oh, screw you. That's not even the right email address.
You're right. It's alexander@surrealresolution.com.
Well, at least it's something, right? But you know what? I'll just redirect it back to you, because I'm a good person like that.
Sure you are. Anyway, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video goes up every Friday on my YouTube page. Just search Rob Barracuda or Decibel Boost Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're always notified whenever new episodes of the podcast go up. And of course, this is the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution, which you can follow on Twitter @SurrealRezo. Find online SurrealResolution.com. And of course, find the podcast on its subdomain, DecibelBoost.SurrealResolution.com. And while you're on the site, be sure to listen to the other great podcasts. Of course, if you like gaming, check out The Training Stage. If you like movies, check out Salty Flicks. And if you like anime, check out Alex's own podcast, ONA.
It's good.
Heck, they just put out a new episode this past weekend, so yeah.
Yes, every Saturday goes up.
Don't you mean every other Saturday?
Every other Saturday, yeah. What am I thinking? Ugh. It'd be a nightmare if I did it every Saturday.
While you're on the site, be sure to check out all of our great written content. On my end, I finally got around to my review of the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy. Short version, you know, it's still pretty fun as I remember. Maybe the first one didn't age all that well. Fucking bridge levels, I swear. Sometime this week, I should also have a review of the new Tyler, the Creator album, Scumfuck Flower Boy. Short version, it's good to have Tyler back, man. Especially considering how much of a letdown Cherry Bomb was.
Oh, that's true.
Went from a decent 3 to a strong 8.
Now, all we need... Wait, was that actually the score?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I didn't actually see the review. I thought it was going to be a 9. He wore the yellow flannel and everything.
Remember, he lives to fuck with you.
The yellow flannel does not equal 10 anymore.
Well, then what's even the point?
It's symbolic, you know? Symbolic.
He wants to fuck with...
metaphor for something.
Look, dude...
He wants to fuck with you.
Fantuan, dude, come on, man. You're messing with patterns. Patterns exist for a reason. I mean, if that's the case, then I'm just going to have to start sending you pictures of my toenails just to rub it in your face because I have the best toenails in the game, motherfucker. Fucking sending that nasty-ass shit to Filthy Frank to eat, motherfucker. Like, come on, you're a vegan. I thought you were supposed to have healthy chitin or whatever the fuck nails are made out of. I don't fucking know. I'm not a biology major. But anyway, yeah, so we also have a Discord chat. Jump into there as well. Shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. And like I said, if by any chance you're listening to this and you're at Florida Supercon in Fort Lauderdale this weekend, you know, look for me around. Feel free to say hi. I'll probably be wearing a Rigby hat from regular show that you'll think looks like fucking Tom Nook from Animal Crossing, even though it fucking isn't. Who knows? Maybe I'll be wearing an RTJ shirt, too. Who knows? So that'll about do it for this week's episode of the Decibel Boost Podcast, episode 44. Thank you so much for joining us, and until next time... Fuck, I lost my segue here. Shit!
Failure!